As a plant-based cheese company, Daiya has never talked about beef in an ad before, because someone somewhere once had a beef with saying beef and plant-based together. So putting a slice of Daiya cheese on a beef burger, not okay. Well, our delicious melty cheese has a beef with your beef about beef, because any step towards plant-forward eating is a step in the right direction. Daiya, 100% plant-based, even if you're not. Now made with Daiya Oat Cream Blend.
This episode is brought to you by the Weather Channel. It's suggested that brands avoid using sound effects in podcast ads. And remember to speak in a chill tone. Well, here's a suggestion for everyday life. Tap into the Weather Channel app. It's loaded with insights that help you manage your allergies, breathe easy, and
use your outside voice.
What in the weather are you waiting for? Be a force of nature with the Weather Channel app.
Bold. And it's Tony Adams put through by Steve Bold. Would you believe it? That sums it all up.
Hello, I'm Alan Davis. You're listening to the Tuesday Club. This is the Arsenal podcast, and I've got Keith Dover with me this evening. How are you, Keith?
I'm well, Alan. I'm very good. Yeah, I'm good.
Okay.
Yeah. How dark can we go today? Yeah, so. Just so I want to know, in case you red flag me, you go, whoa, it's easy.
No. There's no bottom to this.
Because I tell you, I've been doing my archery, and it's amazing if you put a picture of Stan Kroenke on the target, how well you can shoot.
Oh. You've got a couple of little pictures of Stan Kroenke on the inside of your glasses there.
Have I?
Like when Homer Simpson painted eyeballs on his glasses to make it look like he was a waiter in jury duty. And Oliver Scott is here. Oliver, how are you?
I'm really good. Yeah, good to see you both.
Yes. Good to see you. Good to connect with deepest Sussex.
Absolutely. That's damp Sussex.
Is it damp Sussex?
We record this list notes Sunday evening. I'm a little bit quieter than normal, possibly. Because the kids are asleep. perhaps not for long. God. Arsenal just won. They played West Bromwich Albion.
Oh, do we have? Let's not talk about them straight away. Come on. No, come on. There's more important. I asked earlier on, I thought Oliver owned livestock. There was some reason that I thought that Oliver owned. That you had goats, chickens, that kind of thing. You live in deepest, you know, Rye. But you didn't have any animals.
Never. No, Alistair had. He had some hens, but I didn't and don't.
You've never owned a goat or a sheep or any pig?
No, never owned a goat.
I don't know. I just thought you was living this sort of darling buds of May lifestyle down in Rye. You know, I thought it was like, you know, there's an old caravan outside in your yard and you had all these things running around and, you know.
No, none at all. I have electricity, running water.
Well, I knew you had electricity. I wasn't going that far. I didn't say you was living by candlelight, did I? But, you know.
No, not at all. So
you're pushing on with this, Keith. There's no evidence that he's ever owned an animal.
No.
He's got a dog.
He's got a dog.
Two cats.
Yeah, I was convinced. I don't know what it was. This must have been something that was said.
He's got the slight look of a goat herder.
He does, doesn't he? Yeah. More sort of Eastern
Grey
European.
Grey beard, brown waistcoat. Yeah. Classic goat herder. Yes. Or is it snooker player?
Still no. Still no. No, don't. May look like it. You may think I do, but I still don't.
Anything else you want to talk about, Keith, before we talk about the Arsenal?
Yeah, how do you crowdfund a sniper? that's all I'm saying. I'm sure there are Americans out there that, for a reasonable price, will, you know, happily take a pot shot at a couple of people. That's all I'm saying.
You're feeling murderously angry. Are you feeling more angry? We've seen you angry. We've seen you, you know, back to the pitch, glaring up at the... We sit, listener, underneath the director's box at the Emirates Stadium. And, yes, you can really... If they stand up, You can see them all, rather like, you know, the emperors and
Colosseum. In Rome, yeah.
You can see them all up there. Although I don't think there was much perspex in the Colosseum. No. Perspex.
No.
But I honestly do want them dead. And I'll tell you why. I found this out. Before any of our woke listeners go,
moved on from sending pieces of string.
Yeah, I have moved on.
What, how far will you go?
I'd go, listen, if I was told.
Find someone who's prepared to make the ultimate sacrifice.
Absolutely. I'd reach out to ISIS.
Plastic explosives.
I'm willing to go that far. And before any of our woke listeners start pissing their pants and writing and going, you can't say that. Do you know when he bought
We haven't got any woke listeners.
No, we haven't. Thank God for that. You know,
don't worry about that. You know, by the correspondence,
right?
And there's been some proper bellends on social media this week.
Oh, hasn't there? Just
bone in their bodies, my friend.
I've got to get this off. You know, when he bought his ranch, right? He evicted a load of OAPs off his ranch. Just
did he?
One of the poor guys, he had nowhere.
Cuddly Stan Cronker.
Yeah, killed himself. We ought to write this game's name all over the Emirates. Rick Ellis, 61 years old, left a wife. She was made homeless. He made a load of people homeless. Most of them OAPs, and.
Have you run this by our lawyers?
It's out there on the internet. Look it up.
It's on the internet.
I mean, and we're talking about a place that
I've always found that defence to work very well. That cost me $45,000 once, that defence.
Yeah, but this
bath. Weren't you in the bath, Alan? Wasn't that the story? I was in the bath and I nearly dropped my phone.
Well,
I've done the retweet by it. I genuinely think I did.
I suspect that security on gate S at the Emirates is going to be marked.
I tell you,
harder following this rant. This rant, and it is a rant, Keith. That's what it is. It is a rant.
I mean, and they're going. They're still saying, "Do you think Arteta's going to have enough funds?" Well, either say he has or he hasn't, because we need to know. I mean,
it doesn't really matter what funds he has, does it? Because once he's got them all in front of him, he struggles to organise
any kind of.
I mean, you know, we are going to have to talk about the elephant in the room.
Yeah, come on,
eventually, Keith.
You are now.
I'm all for peddling internet rumours about billionaires who employ.
Possibly
more lawyers than you can.
He's got goats. He's certainly got livestock.
Oh, I bet he has got livestock.
He's a goat herder.
He is a goat herder. He's probably got all sorts of them.
I wouldn't be surprised if he does that. You know, I'm going to get real today. I'm fed up being a cowboy. Buy me some sheep. Put them on my ranch. I'll be a goat herder for the day. Yeah. Kind of weird billionaire fetish that they would probably do, wouldn't they?
Weird billionaire fetish.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, dear. Gentlemen, small businesses have always shown an incredible ability to adapt, innovate and survive, as you well know yourselves, even more so this past year. Another way you can adapt and grow is by finding the right people to help grow your business. LinkedIn Jobs helps you do that for free. And I'll be sending this text over to Arsenal Football Club unless they search for new personnel. To run the first team. LinkedIn is a community of professionals, unlike our manager and coaches, with more than 30 million members in the UK. Getting started is easy. Their new features can help you find qualified candidates, post a job with targeted screening questions. Oh, I love a targeted screening question.
Have you managed a football club before?
No.
There's a screening question.
An experienced UF.
And looking at your CV here, it says you've been a player and you've been a coach. And there's a lot of those about. Have you been a manager before? I want to be a manager. Excellent. Good answer. You have passed the targeted screening question. Anyway, you can do all. You can manage job posts and contact candidates from a single view on LinkedIn.com. And you can do all of it also from your mobile device. That's how LinkedIn Jobs can help you hire the right person faster. Vinay, Edu. When your business is ready to make that next hire, find the right person by phoning up Leicester City. With LinkedIn Jobs, and you can post a job for free. Just visit linkedin.com/Tuesday. Again, that's linkedin.com/Tuesday, or you can just text Eddie Howe on 07 terms and conditions apply, of course. Well, anyway, listener, as I was about to tell you, we're recording this a Sunday evening. Arsenal have just relegated West Bromwich Albion.
Smashed them.
And Big Sam.
Yeah, building a statue for William, ain't we? Built a statue for him. It's out there on the Emirates.
William's popped in a free kick, an entirely pointless and useless gesture. We talk about futile gesture in the last minute of game, deep into May. He's finally found his range. The commentator in the match said that it was his 37th attempt in an Arsenal shirt, and I couldn't work out if he's taking a piss or not. So who's added that up? Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah. It nicely. I think Pepe did a little run up to it as if he was going to take it and fooled the keeper, and he swung it in rather nearly as well as the lad from St Johnston smashed one in the top corner in the Scottish Cup semi final to send St Johnston through. I'm sure you're all keeping up with that.
No.
They're in against the high bees. I'm hoping for a crowd at Hampden so we can have a rendition of Sunshine on Leith.
Oh, that'd be Scottish nice, Cup
final. That's all I'm looking forward to now in this football season. It's the Scottish Cup final between Hibernian and St Johnston. St Johnston knocked out Rangers on pens, in case you didn't know. And it went to extra time, and Rangers went 1-0 up with 3 minutes to go in extra time. And then the St Johnston goalkeeper, I think, had a shot and it got deflected in. Anyway, it was in the last seconds of the extra time, and it went to pens. And then they went through, and they went through again to the final. And Willian emulating Middleton, I think that was his name, the lad from St Johnston who smashed a free kick in the top corner. Some lovely work in the first half from Bukayo Saka on the left, playing as a very advanced fullback, and not really a fullback at all, actually, was he? More like a left winger. And Willian and he combining nicely, and Willian putting him in. And so, having seen that working very well all through the first half, Arteta's second half masterstroke was to take Saka out of that position where it was absolutely wreaking havoc.
Yes.
It was an absolute shoo-in for man of the match. He was getting 9.9 out of 10 on the BBC website. If I know what I'll do, I'll move him. Shit you not. I don't know what this bloke sees when he's looking at the game. The only thing that's working in this team is Saka on the left. That is working so well. He's made one goal. He's created numerous chances. I'll definitely leave him there. Pepe scored a great hit from his left foot cutting in. I'll leave him there. But no, he doesn't. He moves them both around. He put Tierney on for no reason at all that I could see. And put Saka in at number 10. I don't know why he disappeared from the match. Then Pereira scored an absolute wonder goal. What a good player he is. And suddenly we were basically hanging on for a 2-1 home win. Time wasting for goal kicks, time wasting for throw-ins. Oh, God, dreary, rubbish second half. This was going all right. Why did you change that? He took Ceballos off when he got booked because he was obviously fearful of another red. Ceballos stormed off down the tunnel in a huff. Maybe he'll just keep walking all the way back to Spain. And he didn't play any of the kids that we've been crying out for and hoping to see, even though he said a few days ago, oh, it's my fault Reece Nelson hasn't had any minutes. And here we are, really is a meaningless game a few days after this terrible disappointment against Villarreal. And he still don't bloody pick him, does he? He didn't pick him. Doesn't give Nketiah any time or Balogun any time. So I'm not. I'm. quite dispirited, but at least they won today, and at least we did have half an hour. We were treated to half an hour of Bukayo Saka's wonderful wing play, and you do think, well, if we're building a new house, there's the first brick.
Yeah,
but the problem remains that, let's say, all right, he's our manager next season. He gets a transfer war chest and he buys the players he wants. Is he still going to tinker around? Well, you know, you could go two or three games into the season, we may have won them, and then he'll change it again. And then we're back, and then we'll lose two or three matches.
I don't understand. I don't know, you know, how it works. Ollie, you've got a proper job. You work with people. You have to sort of make choices around people about who to hire and fire and who's good at what and how to put a team together and all this sort of thing. This guy, this manager, he seems to take a shine to a player for a few weeks. I'll give you an example. Zorro, Cedric Suarez.
Yes.
He took a shine to him for a few weeks, didn't he?
Yeah.
He played quite a few games. He played right back and left back. And he played well in games.
Played well against West Ham, didn't he?
Yeah. He looked pretty good. Yeah. And now it's dead to him. Hmm. It just no sign of him. Feels like he doesn't want to pick him anymore. Mm. Similarly with Nketiah and Nelson, just doesn't occur to him to select them. And just can you just forget? Can you literally forget? Rather like when Martin Hayes had a lift to training at Celtic, and so the story goes, they got out, locked the central lock in, walked off to the training field, you know, his teammates, and forgot he was in the car and he couldn't get out of the car.
I don't know. Do you know? I don't know. I mean, you know, I can't really see. Yeah, I mean, the only thing I can think it is, and you know, it's interesting, Keith, you're saying, is it like tinkering? You know, is it, because remember that was always the nickname of Ranieri at Chelsea, wasn't it? They said he was always pissing around with formations, and I don't know. I mean, you know, I think if there is something that springs to mind for me, it's this idea, you know, that. I think it was Voltaire actually who came up with it. I don't know if we've had, if anyone's written in with the battle of the French stylists, Voltaire versus Vieira. But you know,
but someone will now.
but you know, Voltaire had this idea about, you know, don't let the great be the enemy of the good, or don't let perfection be the enemy of the good. And you know, I suppose it goes back to this idea that's like you know you get your team up and playing and it's really good, and you know, maybe it's giving you 89% of what you want. Maybe the players aren't efficient in the right areas, or you know, it doesn't meet, you know, whatever Guardiola used to tell you on those sort of plane flights home about perfection. And so he's like, oh no, well he's that, yeah, Zorro was doing this, but oh, do you know, maybe it would be better if he did that. And they're not, but I do, you know, so maybe he just shifts it because he's always seeking perfection rather than saying, do you know what? What worked really well? It's like, I was thinking this when we were playing Villarreal. Do you know what I would have loved to have seen happen? I would have loved to have seen that handsome French bastard, Olivier Giroud, walking on the pitch with like 20 minutes to go, standing there, elbowing loads of people, you know, like winning knockdowns, people running off there. And it's like, you know, that's not perfect football. That's not the way that you know, I think Arsene Wenger would have wanted to play. But sometimes you need your Fellaini, don't you? You need that disruption. Mm. You need your Sonogo, dare I say. You know,
well, I certainly would agree that Villarreal, and here we are, we've arrived here.
We've got to talk about it.
Found that very comfortable, didn't they? I mean, at one point, Coquelin and let's just get this sort of the mess of the team selection out of the way. It's an absolute mystery to me that you can suddenly decide after the whole season that you're going to play Partey on his own in front of the back four, which he's never done for you before. He's just never done that before. And he's not Fabinho. He's not Fernandinho. And he's not even Coquelin, who used to do that job when we used to have Ozil and Cazorla in front of him, or Ozil and Ramsey in front. But we haven't got Ozil and Ramsey or Cazorla and Ramsey. We've got Odegaard and Smith Rowe. Smith Rowe's barely started, and Odegaard disappeared in the first leg. And he got subbed. And you could see how easy it was for an experienced La Liga outfit to swamp Odegaard and for him to disappear. You could see why he doesn't get picked for Real Madrid. So to put your faith in him again in the second leg, and to send Partey in with no one to help him. So then we're trying to play out from the back through parties, getting surrounded. Their two strikers are very, very good at getting back and hassling the holding midfield players, part of their remit. And then they look round and there's no one with him. That lad Parejo, the midfielder, the one that used to be at Valencia, and Coquelin, they were honestly, in the second half, they were walking. Mm. They were walking around the Emirates, receiving passes and laying it off. The air had gone out of the balloon to such an extent, they weren't even have to try hard. They had such a grip on the game. They had their foot on our jugular from the beginning. And I couldn't understand why this coach thinks that if he does something, it will affect the game. Mm. It's magical thinking on behalf of the coach. What you need to do is establish a way of playing, get square pegs and square holes, and then make them feel good about themselves to the extent that they go out and express themselves and feel confident. Mm. But instead of that, you instill a climate of fear with constant tinkering, moving people around, creating areas of discomfort and discord in the team where partnerships are occurring that haven't occurred before. You create an environment where people, there's uncertainty and hesitancy, and then you have a glowering, intense, disapproving visage on the touchline so that there's no possibility of that going changing in the game. If things go wrong in the game, they're going to go wrong, and there's no way back from it. And I feel like there's no pattern of play established. There's no system that he favours. And in one season, we've gone from a back three to a 4-5-1, a 4-3-3, and now it's a 4-1-4-1. He doesn't know what he's doing. That Keown, rather cynically, but probably rightly, thought he was just copying Guardiola because Guardiola played that system. Guardiola pulled it off against PSG. Guardiola does these things, doesn't he? He played three midfielders up front, and then 20 minutes to go, they're holding on to a lead to go to the final, and he brings on three strikers.
But he's got the players to do it. We haven't got that. We are not Manchester City. You cannot make Arsenal play like Manchester City because their players are fundamentally better than ours. And honestly, Unai Emery must have sat back and watched and gone, you have played right into my hands. I wasn't expecting you to do this. I mean, to play the game, what did he think he was going to do? Try and mesmerise Villarreal, bore them to death that they might fall asleep by constantly playing it back to the keeper and back again? Christ, you first 15 minutes you go and make the statement, go right at them, press them hard, just really have a good go at them. But we played it like a testimonial.
Oh, we really did. Yeah. The idea that you leave nothing out there.
Him to say those players were devastated in the dressing room, we've all been to matches where we've seen them lose at home and you know they're devastated. There's no way they can say that they were devastated at that defeat because they didn't leave anything out there. It's an absolute joke to say that. You know, and that's what I get with can't understand with Arteta, for him to come out and say, my players are devastated in the dressing room. Really? I can't be.
Well, the thing is, Keith, perhaps they are devastated. Perhaps they are upset about it. But it feels to me that he wouldn't know what they're upset about or not, because I don't think there's a connection between him and the player. I look at the squad and some of the ones who are not there, you know, like Willock, who's banging in loads of goals for Newcastle, scoring against top sides as well, you know, the goal against Leicester. And bags of talent around, connected to Arsenal one way or another, either being ignored in the current squad or loaned out. He loaned out four central midfield players and ended up in this big semi-final with only two left, and then he wouldn't pick one of them. I watched Partey and I thought, put Elneny there with him, because when we played Manchester United away earlier in the season, we played a back three, we played Bellerin at Saka at wing-backs, and we played Partey and Elneny in the middle. So we had the three at the back that he'd established last season, worked well with our personnel. And he had up front, I think he had Aubameyang and Laka and Willian. And off the bench in that game, Maitland-Niles came on. And Mustafi, believe it or not, came on. And we had a system of play with the back three and good wing backs. And that pairing in midfield of Elneny and Partey, and that functioned and that worked. And if you return to that, they could at least line up and think, oh, yeah, we've done this before. You can't do something in both legs of a semi-final. In both cases, you're playing personnel and players that haven't done it before in a semi. against a top quality La Liga team. I imagine that Emery has not slept since Thursday. I just think he must be just replaying. You know, it is like what an obsessive. He would have watched it 20 times, full 90 minutes by now. He'll be replaying it. He'll be dreaming about it.
He'll be laughing and laughing.
And I hope they go and win the final.
I know.
Good luck to him.
Yeah, I mean, but
and Coquelin.
But
you know?
we did hand it to him on a plate over the two legs. I mean, you know, the whole, you know, he's been changing the systems. He hasn't been rotating the squad like he should have done. You know, Tierney should have been rested off instead of playing in the Liverpool game.
It's so bizarre, it's just, his decisions. It's almost like he's a boxer. And then just before they fight, he says, "After what I'm going to do, I'm going to wear my right glove on my left hand and my left glove on my right hand." Because that's, he won't expect that.
No.
But he won't expect it. But it disables all of your capabilities.
Well, so, I mean, thank God.
What's the point of doing something that your own team doesn't expect? It's all very well trying to outwit the opponent, but you've just confused your own lads and fans, and no one knows what's going on. Well, and then they said this other idea, which clearly was plan B. You can use five subs, right, in the Europa League. Yeah. If we need a goal 20 minutes to go, I'm going to chuck a load of attackers on. So he does. So they all come, and Nketiah appeared. I didn't even know when he'd come on. And Martinelli appeared. He started throwing subs on left, right and centre. No one knew where anyone was playing. I think Lacazette came on. I don't know who was there. I can't remember who was there or where they were. I don't know what was going on. I didn't know what was going on,
but
on the pitch.
Do you think, Alan, that he's doing this because he's like so obsessed with like this, say, this idea of perfection, and it's like, I want my team must play this way. It is like my philosophy. Mm. It's like my process. And as a consequence of that, he's not sitting there saying, right, well, let's play our best left-sided player at left back when our other best left-sided player is injured. You know, it's just like, you know, does he lack
utter mystery?
There's no pragmatism there. It just seems like,
thank God, you know, he's not an administrator at an hospital. He'd go into a surgery and go, what's your job? And the guy, anaesthetist, right, you're doing the operation today, you're performing the heart. No, I'm an anaesthetist.
Let's mix it up.
Mix it up. You, I'm a nurse. Well, we know. Well, you can do
I'm the patient, yeah. Not today.
There must be a reason, though. Like, there must be, you know. Yeah. You can assume there is some sort of like rational reason.
I think it's because confusion in his own.
Is it as simple as that?
And overestimating. I mean, it's an interesting point you make, Ollie, about the search for perfections. But there's something about overestimating his own capacity to influence events, and actually then he is influencing events, but in a negative way, because he's pushed too far the amount of influence he's trying to exert on these men.
Yeah.
So he's pushed it to an extent that they're now confused, and it's now going backwards. It's like piling too many plates. That's too much, and now you've dropped the lot. Mm-hmm. Honestly, the West Brom game today was a perfect example to have Saka running right down the left flank in combination with Willian, and seeing Willian linking up with a player. I mean, I know this is poor opposition.
Yeah.
And we ought to beat them. But you're seeing hints and glimpses of the player that Willian can be in combination with a super talented 19-year-old boy.
Yeah.
And that part of the team is functioning perfectly. So he's thinking, they're going to do 90 minutes, those two. I'm not subbing either of them. But then he separates them into different parts. That decision-making is so bizarre and extraordinary. And he must have decided before the game, I'm going to put Tierney on for 20 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, that must be it. And, you know, I mean,
that's what I'm going to do. Kieran, you're coming on at 68 minutes or whatever, and I'm going to shove Bakayo to number 10 where he'll disappear. Willian, I'll put him somewhere else. He'll disappear from the game. We'll probably concede, and then we'll cack ourselves with West Brom banging on the door for an equaliser. And if you're in the ground, his substitutions and his decision making would be getting booed, because you can see yourself.
Well, surely the players, I mean, they must have lost a lot of faith in him. They know what's going on. I mean, they know when they've had a good match and they've won. When they went to Slavia Prague, they must have thought, well, this is it. this is how we're all together now. And then he changes the system again for the biggest match of the season. And they must be looking around going, what's he doing? They must be saying
Partey,
the same.
Partey, I really felt for. Partey needs a helper, you know. Mm. He needs a Torreira there. He needs someone. El Neni.
Just El Neni.
In front of the back four, doing the dirty work, doing the Flamini job.
Yeah. Or Guendouzi.
Fabregas, for all those years, and Hleb and Rosicki, doing all that wonderful stuff. They had Flamini with his sleeves rolled up, running hundreds of miles a season. You need that player. You can't expect then your Rolls-Royce midfield player to say, today, all the dirty work is on you. But I'm the best player in the club. Mm. You need a water carrier behind me. I am the best player. I was one of the best players in La Liga. I'm better than these Villarreal players. I used to play for Atletico Madrid. Mm. Why am I doing the shitty, dirty work? Why am I doing that? I'm not Danielson. I'm Thomas Partey, my friend.
Well, you're absolutely right.
I imagine that's exactly how he speaks.
My friend. Internal dialogue.
You just want him to have said that, don't you? You really do. I'm Thomas Partey, my friend. That flourish, my friend. Oh, God.
He shat on him, didn't he? He gave him no chance. I imagine Parejo was going, Thomas, what have you done? Shatter of shit. You used to run the show at the Wanda Metropolitano. You know, Atletico are about to win the league. What are you doing here with this shit?
What are you doing here with these cocks?
You've left that little twat Torreira. He's going to get a medal.
That little twat.
He can't even get in the side. Parejo, my friend. I've made a grand error.
I bet he's going through his contract.
My family will talk about for generations to come. For I will never win a league championship. Ever.
Oh, God.
I mean, listen.
The wealthiest water carrier. Well,
where do we
go?
Do we stick with him? Because, listen, Chelsea were ninth. They were in the same position. And they went, right, they sack Frank, bring in Tuchel. They're now, fourth in the league, in the FA Cup, in the Champions League final.
Look at Tuchel, though, right? Look at what he knows exactly what he wants to do. He knows how he wants to play. It doesn't matter if you're 4-1-4-1, 3-5-2, 4-4-2. It doesn't matter what your preferred system is. So long as you've got a system that you want to play, a way of playing that you want to play, and you have the personnel to fit in all the round pegs for the round holes. Mm. That's what last season when we fell upon this three at the back, we had it for a bit. Tuchel's got that. But the other thing he's got is once they're enjoying it and they're winning, they'll work, don't they? Mm. When he brings subs on, it's like releasing the hounds. When Chelsea brings subs on, it's like they've opened a cage. And three other lads come out. And start bombing around the pitch. But Man City, they've beat Man City twice now.
And you can see
they're on the verge of winning the European Cup. Guardiola's cacking himself.
Yeah. Mm. But I mean, you can see Chelsea winning the Champions League.
Of course you can.
Oh, yeah. So,
I still slightly favour City.
But
if, you know, Chelsea are really. And we've got to play them, by the way, haven't we?
We have. And that's a game we should consider losing because I've just looked up that the Europa Conference competition could drop down to eighth, mate. Because if Chelsea win the FA Cup and if they win the Champions League and blah, 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 listen.
If they win the Champions League and don't finish top four.
Well, it's basically what I looked at. It drops down to seventh and eighth place because if they win the FA Cup, then that frees up another space, you see. So if they beat Leicester.
Yeah, well, I assume that because, you know, they're both already in the European places, so it's definitely going. So you see, you actually really have got me worried.
Yes, no, it's true.
This is genuine concern that we might be in the shittest competition that UEFA have ever invented.
Alan, don't worry. We're not going to win any more games. That's it. Williams goals it. That's the end. You know this narrative.
We're not going to finish eighth.
Don't worry. Honestly, I'm not worried.
This is as far as we're going to get.
I don't think so. But you know, but going back to Chelsea, you know, you say you do a normal job, blah blah. It's like, you know, if you do manage people, it's really simple. You just, you know, let them explain what it is that you want them to do, and have confidence in them. You know, and then don't just say, "Oh, just for a change, I'm going to make you, you know, do the brain surgery," and you're excellent example, Keith.
Yeah. Or the other thing, and someone sent in the quiz, and maybe I'll look it up in a minute. But one of the really good quotes was, I think it was a manager, and he was saying, "Don't tell them. You tell them what you want them to do. You don't tell them how to do it."
Mm. Yeah.
And that is, having worked as an actor for in various capacities over a number of years, that's how it works with actors. You can tell them what you want to happen, you know, where the vague area you want them to stand, what you'd like them to wear, but if you do not under any circumstances tell them how to say the words that are written, they will do, you know, you tell them what you want and what will work. You just don't tell them how to do it. And I feel like sometimes It's as if the manager has no faith in them to actually execute even the simplest plan. They're continually yelling instructions over a throw-in, over every restart, every goal kick. He looks at the 11 and someone's not quite in the right place. So without fail, every time there's a goal kick, he's gesticulating at someone to move 3 feet in one another direction. Just shut up. Sit down. He's like one of the dads when my 9-year-old plays. Just sometimes I want to go along. I went to see my 9-year-old scored a goal and they won 3-2 in the match yesterday. They haven't been winning many games, so they were absolutely ecstatic. But it was pouring with rain in Regent's Park. And two of the dads had massive umbrellas and were walking up and down the touchline so none of the other parents could see any of the match.
Oh, dear God.
So why are you the most important dads, you pair of pricks? If you've got an enormous umbrella that can cover a family of five, stand behind.
Were they doing the sort of micromanagement thing as well, going, I don't know what the
Well, they just shout out a load of phrases that they've heard on Match of the Day, don't they? That has nothing to actually do with what's happening on the pitch, you know. They'll be going, you know, drop back, go forward, cover left. they'll have been saying all that crap, no doubt.
What is quite interesting, and is I do remember being on this podcast, you know, and listening to this podcast, and when we used to talk about the frustrations with, you know, certainly the last few years of Wenger, which was, oh, you know, are you giving them too much of that leeway? Are you giving them too much of that freedom? So, you know, are they going out without enough instructions, without enough awareness of who the opposition is? And, you know, it was one of the most marked changes when Emery took over, wasn't it? Was suddenly, I think there was a game and it was like, oh, he's changed his formation. You know, they're good on the wing. He's kind of put these people out there. And so, yeah, I suppose there's, you know, the simplicity as ever in life must be in the middle ground between, you know, looking at the you know, making the right changes because of the team you're playing, but not making such like difficult changes that no one knows what's going on or who to pass to. Maybe he's just gone too far. He's gone too free jazz.
Well, it's like he finds a winning system and then he goes, no, but that's not good enough. I want to go beyond the winning system. And you just go, but you had it right that game. Why are you now changing everything again? We had a great result against Slavia Prague. Keep it like that. Rest the players at the right time. But he didn't. So you.
It's sort of fascinating if you weren't a fan. Mm. But you can watch chaos just rapidly descend. When things start to go wrong, and you feel like people are trying to remember myriad instructions that they've been given, and their role in the team has been changed during a match. They've been moved from one part of the pitch to another part of the pitch during a game where they're used to the combination they've got with a teammate behind or a teammate alongside. They're used to an opponent they've been facing. And suddenly says, you move to the other side. You go back there. You go in the middle. And that's what now? Yeah, now. So, okay. So four of us have changed positions. Two new players have come on. And guess what? It's gone wrong, and we were cruising. It's the first half, effortless. If you're going to move, if you take a player out, this is the tradition in substitutions, you take a player out and you put a similar player in, or if you need a goal, you might take a player out and put a more attack-minded player in that position, and vice versa if you're trying to defend. You don't usually disrupt an entire midfield and defence with one substitution. It's a real gift. It's like a hand grenade.
Do we stick with him?
We're winning this one. Yeah. There's no need to F about. We're actually winning this one.
Yeah.
But do we stick with him, though? Or do we?
What choice? We don't know, mate. Well, what choice have we got?
I know, but what worries me?
I mean, I don't know. I think I thought at Christmas he should have gone. Yeah. Mm. You know, and then they won the Chelsea match, didn't they? And then in the end, it was Lampard who got the boot.
I mean, what worries me, though?
We look stupid not to hire Tuchel now, don't we? But maybe he wouldn't have come to us anyway.
Probably not. But, I mean, the thing is that, you know, we're going to have all the big clubs now sniffing around Smith Rowe, and Saka.
Well, Saka's the one.
Yeah.
Saka is the one who will be... You know, eventually the phone call will come from Pep Guardiola or someone. Yes, now Raheem's not what he was, or Mahrez has gone off the boil, or if I team this kid up with Foden, we're going to destroy the universe of sport.
Yeah.
I want him. Just like this, the day has come for Tottenham fans, the day of reckoning.
Yeah, for Kane. Yeah.
Harry's leaving, and he will leave, and he'd be a damn fool not to, and they all know it themselves.
Oh, this is what worries me.
Levy will just think, got to try and get the biggest fee I can. Yeah,
but, I mean, I've had this discussion with two Arsenal fans, and I'm sorry. I mean, I know one of his listeners is going to get upset, but I think they're deluded because they go, yeah, but they're Arsenal through and through. They've signed a contract. And I said, but that won't stop them from going. One season playing in the Carabao Cup, FA Cup and the Premier League, and his agent will be on to him and going, well, look, you know, Manchester City have made an inquiry, and you know that player's loyalty.
Well, Arsenal are wealthy enough to hang on, and Saka's has signed a long contract. So, you know, he's not going anywhere.
Well, I hope
now.
Not. I don't want him to go.
At the age of 19, when he's developing so well, it'd be foolish to, because he can be the star of the Arsenal.
But do you trust our owners not to go, if they're offering that, take it.
The owners don't have a clue.
No. I mean,
I just don't have a clue. They thought that's why they hired Arteta, because they don't have a clue. When they could have had Carlo Ancelotti, but I don't think they're going to fire him, and I don't know if there's going to be a takeover, and if there is, I don't know. Mm. I have no idea from one day to the next.
But it is. I mean, very worrying on every level. I mean, I don't trust the owners. I mean, we just hope that maybe if we stick with Arteta, it'll come good, like Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has done at Man United. You can just hope that maybe Arteta will sit down and go, okay, I've made mistakes, I'm not going to do that again. But if next season he isn't given the funds and we have a poor start, he will be gone, you know. If you've got 60,000 people...
Well, that's an issue, isn't it? Do you give him a transfer window and then fire him?
Mm.
Or do you give someone else to win? The one thing that's working well at Arsenal Football Club is the academy. The academy is working better than it's ever worked. And we're producing players who are so versatile, so smart, so clever on the ball, such good technicians, so energetic and quick. They never get involved with opponents. They never give less than 100%. They never back chat to refs. They just play. They're morally sound. They've been well brought up as footballers from a very young primary school age. And the thing that I would really upset me would be if they started selling off these kids, thinking making the academy the generator of income that's lost from other sources, you know, lost from failing to qualify for Europe, lost from gate revenue. We've lost all this income. Well, how are we going to replace that income? We'll sell off some of the silver.
Mm.
We'll sell off Maitland-Niles, and we'll sell off Rhys Nelson, and we'll sell off Joe Willock. But these are three of the best young English players in the Premier League. They're top players. They're fast, they're fit, they're talented, they're skillful, they love Arsenal, they all get on well together. Why don't you pick them?
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do with the money that you make from selling them? I'm going to buy some other players. From where? La Liga? Why?
Well, just beat.
That would be, I honestly can see it as a way of making up the shortfall in revenue. Is dipping into the playing squad and selling off young talent. Why do other clubs will come in from? Because they know a 21-year-old from the Arsenal Academy who's already played for England is a good investment.
Well, next season, listen, we haven't got European football. I mean, I was shocked, you know, when there was fans still allowed in the stadium, when we played Aston Villa, I was in the upper Nottingham West, and I noticed that all the corporate boxes, not only were they empty, and it's easy for people to say, well, they're probably inside, but they weren't. Those boxes were actually empty. And I can't see, will there be 60,000 in there, you know, next season?
No, I don't think there will. And people won't want to renew their season tickets or go to the matches. Yeah. And people say to me, are you going to renew your tickets? Are you going to keep your money away from the Cronkers and, you know, hit them where it hurts? And I think, well, that's sound thinking, but we've got really good seats. Seats by the tunnel. Where will we end up if we lost them seats? But I know what people mean. I found that quote, by the way. Someone sent me, Dwight Moe sent me in a quiz. George S. Patton or Alan Pardew?
Wow.
And the quote is, never tell people how to do things. Tell them what to do and they will surprise you. Then I love that quote.
That sounds like, I'm going to go Pardew.
But was it Patton or Pardew?
I mean, I think Pardew's such a dick, isn't he?
That's
true,
yeah.
He really is such a... Damien, do you remember Damien? Screw you, Partridge! He hated him as well. Oh, he's such a dick.
Yeah, you're right. It was Patton.
It was Patton. Wasn't it? He's never said anything that insightful. Oh, he's such
a dick. Yeah, there's another good one from Patton. If everyone is thinking alike, then somebody isn't thinking. Pardew said, you always have to have faith in your own abilities, and that has to be evident.
Well, yeah. Pardew.
Oh, dear. Success is high. This is a good one, because this is Pardew or Patton. Success is how high you bounce when you hit bottom.
Ooh.
Got to be Patton.
Think so?
It is Patton. Oh. Yeah. It is Patton.
God, Patton would have made a good football manager, wouldn't he? You wouldn't have...
Yeah.
What
else?
There's another quiz actually that I quite like. That's about maybe it's.
I've got a little one, right? Okay, this.
Oh, good.
No, I'll just throw this one in. It's like a player's rating system. So you're in the Arsenal training ground car park. You're allowed to put in a sack full of rats if you don't like the way they played, or a bouquet of flowers. I was going to go rabid dog, but I thought, no, I don't like the idea of dogs being in a car. So, you know, I think, what players would you have? Definitely the manager's car. He gets a sack full of rats. Jesus, man. We are. Next season's going
to Thomas Hughes has emailed to say, tell Damien not to throw any of his Arsenal stuff away. I'll come and pick it up. that's quite good. People have sent in some quite funny ones. I've had Per Mertesacker or the BFG, and then quotes from Per and quotes from the BFG, such as, who said this? Us Giants is making whiz poppers all the time. Whiz popping is a sign of happiness. Is music in our ears? Is it Mertesacker or the BFG?
The BFG.
Tom Nurton sent in Frank Lampard or the Cookie Monster. Eden Hazard is a great player. He has magic.
That was I'll take that. Yeah.
Peekaboo, here's some cookies for you. That was the cookie monster.
What do you think with Arteta then?
Well, I think we have to stay with him because there's no managers out at the moment. I'd give him one.
You wouldn't pull the trigger?
Not now. I mean, unless we lose the next three remaining matches, but. I am seriously.
If they
worried.
Did pull the trigger, Cave, who would you hire as manager of the
Arsenal? Well, I had a little look. I was going to the Bundesliga, the CU's.
You went to the Bundesliga?
Went to the Bundesliga.
Lovely.
And CU sort of coming around third or fourth. Wolfsburg.
A
third.
Yeah.
I think he's called Glasner. Is it Glasner? Yeah. So I'm thinking, okay, he's Austrian based. It was always good. And. I think maybe we could give him a go, you know.
Get the Wolfsburg.
That's like looking at the wine menu and choosing the third most expensive bowl, isn't it?
Well, we're obviously not going to get the top German teams, are we? We ain't going to get the manager from, you know, who's second and first.
What about Farker, the manager of Norwich, who's just won the league with Norwich? Mm. He might bring Buendia with him.
No.
And Aarons or Aarons.
No, I can't. I'd love Brendan Rodgers. I really would take Brendan Rodgers.
Yes. Isn't that ironic, given how we did say, please God, not Brendan, only 3 years
now ago. We're begging for him.
Now we're eating our words.
Not
for the first time.
Maybe if Steven Gerrard went to a mid-table Premier League club and done well with him, and then we could snap him up, you know. I mean, that would be interesting.
We are a mid-table.
Oh, yes, we are. You're absolutely right.
What are you talking about? Yeah, let's let Gerald get some experience with the team, you know, down in ninth. And see if he can handle the Premier League. Don't worry about that. Gerald can handle the Premier League.
He
can handle any idiot in the dressing room as well. And I imagine that he will be interviewed when Jurgen Klopp decides to call it a day.
Yes, he will.
Maybe sooner than we think, given how they've had such a terrible season, and it doesn't look like fun being a football manager at the moment.
No.
Empty grounds and all that.
I mean, do you think I'd...
If you wanted to take a sabbatical, Jurgen, it wouldn't be too tall surprise, and then Gerrard, I think, would be a shoo-in for that job.
Oh, God, can you imagine?
I think maybe if we'd have had 60,000 in there Thursday night, it may have been a different result, because the crowd would have been going, no, not... Stop kicking it back. And maybe that would have transmitted to our players, and they would have suddenly woken up and gone, okay, let's do a few eyeballs. Let's be more lively.
Well, that's kind of what happened anyway, isn't it? Because they started off, every time we got a goal kick, the two centre-backs stand in the penalty area, Partey comes and stands in the penalty area. They set up this formation that they've obviously rehearsed. Leno looks at the two of them and Partey. They all look at him like, we don't want it burned. I mean, we've been told to stand here.
Mm.
None of us want the ball. Mm. He spends an age working out what to do. And Emery's thinking, this is brilliant. Every time there's a goal kick, it takes 2 minutes off the match.
Yes, exactly.
This match is no longer 90. It's 88, 86, 84, 82 minutes. Because Arsenal are just dicking about over every single goal kick instead of just launching it into our half and kicking the shit out of us.
The
one thing we've always been afraid of coming over to England is that they're going to be a bit hard and it'll be a bit unfriendly. Mm. And the La Liga teams have not been getting on well against English sides recently. But Emery's teams do seem to manage it, don't they?
Well, good luck to the man.
As a word of warning in this quiz, Keith, okay, for you particularly.
Right. It's not foreign Nick, players' names, is
Nick's
it?
Or
even English players' names. Not so clever on them.
Oh, dear.
Confucius or Cantona? Nick Scassero has sent this in.
Wow.
Nick is in Philadelphia. He says he's a loyal freeloading scum. He will never email us again. And it's this first quote I think is relevant for you, Keith. What? Before you embark on a journey of revenge, dig two graves.
Wow. Oh, he's very... Hey, I like the way you think.
Confucius or Cantona?
Definitely Confucius.
Confucius, yeah. Oh, actually, more, is Confucius. I would have said Joe Pesci from the film... what was it?
Not the Goodfellas.
Not the Goodfellas.
Actually, it's not called the Goodfellas.
It's Casino. It's the opening thing. If you're going to whack someone, dig the grave first. You don't want to be dicking around with a body in the back of the car digging a grave. Dig the grave first.
Are you going to be out in the back garden digging a Texan?
Accidents happen on ranches, you know, stampedes.
All those goats. They get crazy.
So now the man who's scared of cows is going to organise a stampede on a Texan ranch as an elaborate to murder the billionaire landowner.
I think if I'm a few hundred yards away with a loud siren to cause a stampede.
Honestly, if we found out that the Cronkers have been crushed in a stampede on their ranch, I'm going to phone Linda and ask where your whereabouts are. It's a line from one of my wife's books. Where are your whereabouts?
I'd love to be on a ranch. I bet if they got bitten by a rattlesnake and they said to me, can you go and get help? I go, yes, but I'm going to walk really slowly. I'm going, Stan, Josh, I'm going. I'm going to go and get the medical help. Right,
what's the
now
scenario where you're on that ranch? Just like
that's a good
hanging
point.
Hanging out, shooting the breeze,
just driving down along there,
down there by the rattlesnake.
Just picture this in about 3 years' time, you trying to cook up some scheme where you murder the owner and founder of Spotify because Arsenal finished ninth and lost in a semi-final. I'm going to get his streaming service and I'm going to somehow turn it against him by electrifying it. Every time someone listens to a record, he receives a tiny electric shock.
That's a lot of nice thought.
Yeah. You might as well get your planning in early for when...
He's pissed off a load of fans out in America. Somebody must be a bit balmy out there or go the extra 9 yards, surely, you know.
I thought that about Donald Trump.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. It never happened, did it? Yeah.
Well, all the lunatic would-be assassins were voting for him.
Yeah, exactly.
Again, it's a pointless question because none of us know, but do you feel there's a genuine possibility that they might sell? Football is empty. The grounds are empty. Doesn't feel like the broadcast rights are going to go up and up and up and up like they have been for the last few years. In fact, if anything, they're likely to be frozen for eternity. That's still billions, of course. The Super League's a dead duck.
Dead duck for now.
If there's...
The thing about the Super League that everyone hated was that there's no promotion or relegation to it. And if you do it on that basis, we're not in it anyway.
I honestly think they have a portfolio of businesses. Some are in America, some are in England. They don't give a shit. Mm-hmm. You know, they really don't. They don't need to sell. They don't need the money. They'll just sit there and go, yeah, this is, you know, it's like a legacy thing. It's like one day it might be quite useful to have a little Premier League club in London. You know, we don't need to sell. We don't care if the fans like us or hate us.
Well, their business model has always been, and that's with the American clubs, is to go mid-table, don't spend too much, just keep ticking over. The only advantage this year is that no fans have been in. Now, in America, if the fans still turn up, maybe that works for them. But in the Premier League, if there's only 40,000 in there, there's no corporate boxes being sold, we're not getting the sponsorship deals that we should be getting because we're not in Europe, and we're not a big name, then maybe they would sell. But on the other hand, I don't think they will.
The thing about all this situation, though, has always been, isn't it? It's like, you know, when we were consistently kind of coming fourth and third, and we were always like, oh, we're just that little bit away from like winning the title again. Mm-hmm. And if you're the owner of the club, you're like, well, yes, you look at PSG, you look at Man City, you know, you have to spend like an insane amount of money to get a squad that good. And we are just not in that ballpark. I know you're obviously we won't be in Europe next season unless this awful occurrence happens, which we're all dreading it won't. And it's like, if you're the owners of the club, you know, and you're really rich anyway, it just doesn't make that much difference. They're probably like, is it worth us spending like, half £1 billion to try and finish fourth when we can spend nothing?
Absolutely right, Ollie. And the thing about that is they knew that 5 years ago. They knew that was the case. Everyone's looking forward to Chelsea, Manchester City in the Champions League final. It's two great coaches. It's going to be fascinating. But really, when you look at it, you think Chelsea and Manchester City in the European Cup final?
It just feels, it seems so normal. It seems so normal now, though, doesn't it?
Because these are really these two clubs in name only.
Well,
you know, it's a Russian billionaire.
Human rights.
And an oil company. Listen, well, no.
And that's where we are. So they've bought their way right the way to the pinnacle there. Chelsea's been there before and won it already. City may well win it this time. And it's great for the fans of Man City, obviously. We always say they've had United in their ear all their lives. That's you're absolutely right. Yeah. At the same time, we don't want it to be Bayern Munich, Juventus, or Barcelona, Real Madrid, or you know, Manchester United, Inter Milan, whatever. Every single year, the same clubs. It's nice to see new teams in the final, but PSG were in the final last year just because there's billions of pounds spent on them. Chelsea and Man City are because of billions of pounds spent. And the only way we're going to get there is by doing that. The only way is by doing
that. And I know we can't do that, and I understand that, because they're never going to throw that kind of money at Arsenal. But I would have liked to have been I thought we'd be where West Ham are now. I thought we could have a crack at the top four, but most likely come in the top six.
But, mate, if we'd hired David Moyes, we would be.
It's the David Moyes game all over again.
If we'd hired Brendan Rodgers, we would be. If we'd hired Moyes, we would be. If we'd hired Tuchel, we would be. If Pochettino becomes available, because they don't last long at PSG, do they? We hire him, we will be. Because we got the resources and we got the talent in the existing squad.
Yes.
There's no need, really. There are a few players who need to leave the squad who are past their best. We could name them. We might need to bring one or two in. But there's bags of young talent. The squad's too big as it is. There's loads of talent at Arsenal. And there's, you just need a manager, proper manager, a proper manager, where the decisions that he takes make total sense. I get why he's done that. I get why he's put him there. I see what the brand of football is. I see what he's trying to do. When you think about Eddie Howe, for example, is a name that keeps coming up.
Yeah.
People like him because he's dignified, he's intelligent, he's calm, and his brand of football is keeping it on the floor and getting it up the pitch. Bournemouth played nice stuff. So it's now become the Eddie Howe game. And if you can't go and give millions and millions to Leicester, where Brendan Rodgers? What if he wins the cup and goes into is in the Champions League? Why is he going to leave Leicester City
now?
He's
not.
And if he is going to leave Leicester City, isn't he going to go wait and see for some giant club that's in the Champions League? Well, I don't know. We didn't hire Moyes. West Ham are up the table. We're ninth because we hired an inexperienced guy. And we have to believe Moyes did years at Preston and years at Everton. Years of management. Hundreds of games. Arteta just gets given Arsenal. With no clue how to operate as a manager, no clue about man management, no clue about decision making in matches, piss poor in press conferences, and then a faux show of emotion when you've ballsed it up.
Yeah,
it's really sad when you say, well, should we keep him, should we not keep him? I think Ollie's probably right. The Cronkers have got no reason to sell. The only thing that might make them sell is if you've got something. Big asset for which buyers are few and far between, and a buyer actually appears with the money on the table with a realistic valuation, that can make you think these things don't happen very often.
Yeah.
If we don't sell this now, we could be years waiting for a. Look at how many clubs there are trying to organise takeovers and they can't organise a takeover.
Newcastle's another fine example, you know.
But there's not...
The fact that there was a rumour in one of the tabloids a few days ago that actually the Cronkers have been sort of sniffing about selling for a couple of years and that they might take a bid if a realistic bid appears. Because it's not like there's a queue of billionaires around the block lining up to buy Arsenal. Mm. There's only one realistic buyer around, and he's only just appeared this week or last week. So that's the only thing that makes me think that they could shift. But otherwise, as you say...
But, you know...
I can imagine him just lying in bed and someone comes in with a phone and a tray. Do you want to sell Arsenal? No.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's exactly like that.
I mean, but if we are a drain on him, then he may sell. But at the moment, if we're not draining him, he's actually taking money out of us, then he's going to keep
us. If you cared enough about this, you wouldn't have him as the manager today. You know, if you didn't look at the club purely as an asset, if you had any sense of I want it to do well, you know, as long as the the broadcast rights are there, and that's going to be increasingly important as we've all seen, you know, that the European Super League it will come back, you know, there'll be 10 years time there'll be something else will happen, you know, the Prime Minister won't get involved, you know, who cares what the fans think? It's not about the 60,000 people are there. It's the most original observation. You know, it's about 60 gazillion people in around the rest of the world who love watching.
But
the
will
Premier
we be
League.
In but, any yeah. position to be in any kind of Super League? It's all like saying Super League. We're not even in Europa League but now,
you say it yourself. You know, you can't accept that Arsenal is now like a mid table Premiership club. You know, it's the brand legacy will go on for 10 years, you know, and that's what why people sit there and they aren't saying, oh, let's see if Leicester want to get involved in this or West Ham. You know it's like the big clubs, the big English clubs are the ones who they were talking
that's
to.
That's true, though. Of course, it's the clubs themselves that have announced to the world that they are the big clubs.
Well, yeah, it's rightly so.
But we haven't.
We've got a funny clip of Noel Gallagher talking about Tottenham being, and it was running, doing the rounds on.
Oh, I've seen that. That's very funny. Yeah, yeah.
I know. I keep saying the same thing, but I think there's enough in the squad to do much.
Absolutely, and that's what's so frustrating.
Do you know, I just think, where's Terry Venables from 20 years ago? Walk in and get them organised, make them feel good about themselves. Can you imagine Arsene Wenger turning up, a 45-year-old Arsene Wenger, and looking around and thinking, it's not good.
Well, when George Graham took over that, he harnessed our youngsters and turned them into, you know, a championship-winning team.
You look at them, and then I come back to your point, Ollie, about it's not perfection. You know, Maitland Niles, you think, well, he can't do this or he can't do that, but he can do so much.
You take a good penalty.
When we had Merson, he had no left foot at all and a bit of a drink problem, but his right foot was like a magic wand. And he, Michael Thomas started as a right-footed left-back with bandy legs who couldn't hit the ball with the inside of his foot. But he was as strong as an ox and never intimidated and very calm. And in the end, he said, I'll put you in central midfield because you appear to be able to run 10 miles a match and not feel tired. And you're an absolute monster, a powerhouse. And all these dirty sods who kick people and they're going to take one look at you and kick someone else because you're built like Michael Watson. And he used them in the right way. Mm. Adams had limitations as a player. If you wanted to nitpick about Adams, you could talk about his pace. You could talk about his left foot, maybe, but you could see the raw material of a truly great centre-back. Mm. Rocky had no real left foot, but he looked around and thought, these guys, they're a real ragbag of mixture of talent, but they all have talent and they're all young and they all get on and they're all here at the same time. Mm. So why am I looking elsewhere? And when you look around at Arsenal at the moment, you think, what can Smith Rowe do? What can't he do? What can Maitland-Niles do? What can Willett do? How can I fit them in? How can I organise them to get the absolute best so that these lads who are going to have Premiership football careers, there's no doubt about it, have those careers at Arsenal where they feel at home, they love one another, the fans love them. How can I get the best out of what there is instead of thinking, who can I get on loan? What sort of a deal can I do? Who's coming to the end of their contract? Might be at a pinch on a free. Mm. It isn't just all about watching videos, analysing the opposition, and then sending someone on flights around the world trying to recruit players on the cheap. It's about making the best of what you have. And I don't think we're doing that.
No, we're definitely not.
It's been an awful season. Of course it has. And you sit there and you say, would a more engaged owner be putting up with this? Under any normal rules? And yeah, it's been a year like no other. You know, I mean, it's abject failure.
If David Dean was there, Arteta wouldn't have been hired. David Dean was reluctant. There was a reluctance at Arsenal, although Dean supported it. And this is what we found out when we interviewed Arsene Wenger. To take a punt on Wenger, even though he'd been managing in France for years and had won the French championship and we had a reputation as an innovative and brilliant coach, they weren't sure. And they went with Rioch, who was an experienced manager who had great success at Bolton Wanderers, playing an attacking brand of football, and it made sense. And prior to that, you know, they'd been interested in Venables at one point. They'd been interested in Alex Ferguson at one point. And they hired George Graham. They were interested in serious football managers. Serious experience. The idea that you'd give the Arsenal Football Club to a manager who had never managed before, that would never have happened. It would never, ever have happened. And David Dean would have said, I love Mikel. Mikel, you're wonderful. We all love you. Go and manage Southend United. Mm. Go and manage Middlesbrough. Go and manage someone else. And do what George did at Millwall. Do what Arsene did, managing on a shoestring, doing all the jobs in the club at Nancy, and then come, when you've had all that experience, and come back, because I would love nothing more than for you to be our manager, but you're not ready. I was told as a stand-up comedian, going down to the Comedy Store, or Jongleurs, or those clubs back in the day, you're not ready. You're not ready. Go away and get good. It's not as easy as it looks.
Oh, that's true. That's very true.
You know, it's not as easy as Bob Mills makes it look, right? And it was sound advice. All right, I've got three spot the commentaries. Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Here we go. I'm going to fire these up for you now. Here's one for the legacy fans. See if you remember this goal.
And Williams. And Woodcock. He can find Sansom, and back to Woodcock, and Sansom right to the line. It was well hooked back, and Nedvesky couldn't stop it, and Mariner came in, and he scored for Arsenal, as he did on the opening day of the season against Chelsea, and it was all down to Kenny Sansom joining the attack.
Right, so it's against Chelsea.
It is against Chelsea,
because I recognise the keeper's name.
Nedvesky.
Yeah, Nedvesky.
What do you think of the season?
Well, Must be 81, 82 season.
Mariner didn't come in that season.
Didn't he?
I'm going to stop playing this game with you.
Well, we had
It's 80. It's 84, 85.
84, 85?
Yes.
Blimey.
Did you? I remember, I was looking at it thinking, did I go to that? And then, you know, I watched the rest of the highlights are on the YouTube, of course. Yeah. I watched the rest of the highlights, which is short. And we were 1-0 up with that goal. And David Speedy scored an equaliser in the 89th minute. And that's what I remembered, the absolute agony of that going in and the raging hostility of Stamford Bridge and then coming out and queuing up for Fulham Broadway Tube. And even though the road was closed to traffic, they still shoved all the Arsenal fans onto the pavement with police horses. And so you were crushed up against shops, plate glass windows, crushed up against them. And I remember having my hands up on a plate glass window thinking this could go through in a minute. And if it does, I'll be dead because the glass is going to cut me in half. And coming out the other end, and there was a flat-capped policeman who was obviously in charge. I said to him, people are being crushed in there. He goes, do you want to be nicked? I said, what for? Shouting at you? Why? I'm just telling you that this is really bad. You know, F off.
Oh, they are miserable.
Oh,
bastards.
God, I remember that day well. Paul Mariner headed in. Kenny Sansom running four, playing a 1-2 with Woodcock, crossing it in for Mariner to head a goal. Let's see if you won't remember this. I don't think you're going to remember any goal that I play.
No.
I have no faith
in it.
Oliver, you're the younger man. I'm not expecting you to remember goals from 1984.
Jazz, that's kind of you. That is kind of you.
But as I said last week, I'm playing into the theory... Yeah. That the long-term memory is
better than the short-term.
Evidence. All this proves is that Keith doesn't have Alzheimer's. Is that there are many neurological concerns.
There's so many neurological concerns about Keith.
And psychological.
And sociological. And
on every level.
And an absolute willingness to believe every sodding thing on every libelous thing on the internet and be willingness to repeat them on this bloody podcast.
Oh, God.
But okay, here we go. It is a goal that you will not remember.
Right, another one we don't know.
Taken by Merson, deflected on the way. That means it's a corner. So, what can Arsenal conjure at the clock end? Keown's forward for this, as you would expect. Short to Platt, and then the cross, and there is Keown! It's 2-2!
Is that against Shakhtar Donetsk in the Champions League?
No.
Keown don't score that many goals.
No, he did score two against Shakhtar Donetsk.
Yeah, so I was hedging my bets on that.
In a memorable win in the Champions League. No. It wasn't. Right. Remember how I love a theme.
Is it Chelsea?
Yes, Oliver. Oliver's in. He scored.
Well, yeah, I really love a theme, but we played West Brom and Villarreal. We didn't play Chelsea.
We're playing Chelsea Wednesday night. Yeah, we're playing Tuchel and all this. You know, the multi-million pound team of stars accumulated at monumental expense. God knows where they get the money from.
I know where they get I know where they got the money from, Alan. It's Boris Yeltsin.
That goal was scored in September 1996. So it was about a month or less than a month before Arsene Wenger took charge. And... Keown headed that one in. Arsenal went 2-0 down in that match. An error by John Lukic let in a soft goal from Gianluca Vialli.
Oh,
Ruud Gullit was on the bench managing the Chelsea side, who went on that season to win the FA Cup. And Keown headed in an equaliser. Ian Wright came off the bench and put Arsenal 3-2 ahead. And Dennis Wise, I think it was, equalised in the 90th minute. And it was a 3-3 thriller.
Wow.
In September 1996. No memory of it at all, have you?
No.
Yeah, but it does annoy the people who listen to this podcast because they'll be moaning now. They'll be going on Twitter going, you couldn't remember that game? Put yourself an Arsenal fan.
Oh, yes, I remember those players. I remember that. And, of course, it's 25 years ago. We're just banging on about things from 25. The Mariner one was 36 years ago. I think maybe there should be a limit on YouTube to how old things are.
Oh, it's that Facebook.
And this is the last one. See if you can get to remember this one.
Two officials who are discussing the matter here, and it is goal given. And Sanchez is the man again. And it's just the start that Arsenal wanted.
Ramsey was in an offside position, but he didn't eventually touch the ball. But it's a good finish in the end from Sanchez with the outside of his right boot.
Well, that's the FA Cup final, and that's where Sanchez decided to play basketball with a blatant handball, pushes the ball down in front of him.
Oh, well, yeah, protecting his
exactly,
face.
Which he was allowed back then.
And what year was that?
2017.
Oh, he's equalised. Yes. Oliver's boring himself.
That was the final where we really thought we was going to get thrashed. But luckily, Chelsea were on the beach that day. They teamed up.
Chelsea were going for the double. And Per Mertesacker, who hadn't played all season, marshalled a back three, which I think was Nacho Monreal, Rob Holding in the side. Danny Welbeck had a fantastic game at centre-forward.
I remember Linda saying about Per Mertesacker because he was watching the highlights and he said he's only played one game all season. I said, but he gave 100, he's exhausted. And she said, but he's only played one game. How can he be exhausted? Yeah.
Covers a lot of ground. Did you like, talking of Rob Holding, did you like seeing him as captain today?
Yeah, I don't mind that. I don't quite sure with old Bighorn if there's a long term future for him as an Arsenal player or not. But Arteta trusts him, and as he likes to have a right footer and a left footer in, and he likes to have a back four. And as you say, Keith, Saliba, he won't try, or at least not yet. Luiz is injured. So not only is he's in for a run of games, and he's the captain. And I think part of the reason is he thinks, well, I've got to pick him because I haven't got any other right foot centre-back, so I'll make him the captain. Who else would it be?
I think maybe under a different manager, and as you said, a manager could just go, listen, just play it simple. I want you to do this and nothing else. But as you say, he keeps changing his mind every other week, and I don't think he's getting the best out of the players that we've got.
Well, on that note,
he's got to go, hasn't he?
We've got Chelsea. And then, is it Palace, I think, we're playing?
Yes.
And Brighton.
And I think Brighton are going to...
This hell is over. Yes. The season is done. Mm-hmm. We can walk away. Await developments in August.
Yes.
But I think we have, unfortunately, I have to report, we're obliged to record two more podcasts. And I really have to draw a line on this now because it's... It's 10:30 and I'm on the school run at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Yes.
Help me, Arsenal.
See ya.
See ya.